Number 2 in your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Glad we chose Christ. I'm glad He chose us. I'm glad He chose the cross to go there and pay my sin debt for me. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Somebody said something the other day, maybe it was Brother Daniel Williams when he was here preaching before going back to the Philippines, and he said something about the greatest ability, and I forget which one he said. He used one of them, and somebody else came back later and said it's. I think he said the greatest ability is availability, and I wrote that down. I thought that's really good, and I wrote it on the dry erase board in my office. The greatest ability is availability, and then somebody else said, no, I think the greatest ability is dependability, and I said, oh, that's a good one too. And then I started thinking about all the different things that are great that you need to be able to do something. And so I'm going to give you several of them tonight that I think are found right here in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I was thinking about just being a good servant of the Lord. And I'll read a couple of verses to you, and then I'll give you a little bit of introduction. We'll get to this. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Our greatest ability. As this church begins to do different things, and we're in a little bit of a transition, some people leaving, some people coming and going, and that happens sometimes around this time of year, May time of year. We have a turnover that takes place sometimes in there. But we've been watching. I don't know if you've been watching and paying attention, but on a Sunday morning, the amount of people that are coming to the church and the parking lot and different things that are happening, we're filling up and filling up and filling up. And we were talking about this the other day, that the building we were in, it's hard to believe that we ever used to fit in the building that we were in over there. What is Robinson Hall, where the youth is at, that we used to all cram into that building. It's hard to believe we even fit in that building. And then we thought, well, we'll build this building, and this will be the last building I'll ever see built. I'll never be involved in another building ever. And then we built this, and it was like, as soon as we got the walls up and the seats in, it was, people filled in this place on Sundays, and they started filling up, and we started going through some stuff with that and growing pains, and then parking lots and not have enough parking or parking lots. And now we're thinking through, how do we deal with the fact that we don't have enough classroom space, and we got portable buildings now, and we got to figure out how to do that. Now we're finding out that the nursery is overpacked, and we've got to figure out how to redo the nursery and fix all that up a little bit. And we've got people that, you know, we're stacked in there. And so we've got all these issues. These are not bad problems. These are good problems to have, but we've got to figure out what to do. And as we start finding the need for more classrooms, more teachers, some of these classes are packed with kids. In my wife's class, that they're in there with that one, they got like 26 kids in there sometimes in that one little room that they're in. So they're talking about now. So what do? We got to split some of the classes, and we got to find a way to get some of the classrooms. So what we're decided to do is we're kicking Pastor Bishop out of his office and making it a classroom. We're about to do that here pretty soon. That's the truth. That's the honest truth. He's moving out. We're moving out. We're all moving in different places and find closets to move into. And all of our sacrifice is we're going to give our rooms up. That's going to be part of classrooms, and we're going to have classroom space over there and try to get everything we can over there, fill up the rooms, split some of the classrooms, get them in there. But when you start splitting classes up because we got too many kids, that means you got to have more teachers. And you got to find more servants. You got to do more things. And then, you know, somebody came in the other day and said, hey, what about that bus ministry that started? And I thought, yeah, you know, we got the bus, and I did want to start a bus ministry, but I thought several times, it's the honest truth, if we brought in 25 kids, where in the world would you put them? I mean, you have to fold them up neatly and shove them underneath the chair somewhere. I don't know where you would put another kid if you brought another kid in. And so we've got all those things, but we've got bus ministry stuff ideas. We want to do stuff with that, and we want to do more. And now we're doing young adults, and we're trying to find ways to do that. And all those things take, understand this now, they take servants that will lead and minister and help people in those things. And so we need servants. Really, sometimes people get the idea in a church that church is in some place. I don't think we have that a lot here, but church is a place you come and you sit in a pew and you watch this guy serve and do something and preach to you, and then you've got a few other guys that take up offerings or meet at the door or something like that. But for the most part, you got the pastor, and that you come and listen. But that's not what a church really is. A church is never meant to be, or people come in and sit and watch a guy, you know, come up here and yell and holler for an hour, and then y'all leave. Y'all are part of this body. This is part of something we're doing together. We are servants together. We're co-laborers with the Lord. And so I want to look at some things about your greatest ability. You are able to do something. I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're able to do something for the Lord. You're capable. You're able. You've got all the different things that we're going to talk about. You've got them. You're just going to have to use them. So I'm going to look at a few of those tonight. Number one, when he says in verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Number one, I want to say this. If you want to be a servant of the Lord and you want to find your greatest ability, the first one's going to be availability. And that's what Brother Daniel Williams talked about the other day, your availability. That, when I say that, I mean, are you available to the Lord for, number one, for salvation? For Him to save your soul and Him be your Lord and Savior. But not only am I available for Him to save my soul, but am I available for Him to use me to do something for His honor and glory? I want you to hold your place there. You know the verse very well, so if you don't turn, it won't be that bad. But Romans chapter 12, I want you to see something when it comes to this, your availability. Let me say it this way. Maybe you ought to think about it not as much as your availability, but your responsibility. In chapter 12 and verse 1 of Romans, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, in light of the fact that you are saved, in light of the fact that you've experienced all the mercies of God." Let me ask you a question today, and the answer is going to be amen. How many of you are saved this evening? How many of you have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? How many of you are on your way to heaven when you die? How many of you are a child of God? How many have experienced the mercy and the grace of God? All right, if you've experienced all of that, it's your reasonable responsibility to serve Him with your life. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." You say, "Well, you're asking me to serve. That's unreasonable." No, it's not. That's your reasonable service. To give yourself to Him. It says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." He's going to go on from there and talk about all the different pieces of the body of Christ and how you fit within the body of Christ. And you're never going to figure out, listen now, you're never going to figure out where you fit in the grand scheme of what God's doing until you first make yourself available to Him, which is your reasonable service or your responsibility. Sometimes people, they're glad He saved them, but they get too busy with other things to really be available for Him to use them. We get drowned out by personal issues and different things. And then when somebody says, do you want to serve God, even in a substitute position or just cleaning the church or doing something like that, we say, well, I'm just not emotionally available at the time. I've got too many things going on right now in my life. And so we're available for salvation, we're just not available for service. We're spending time, listen now, listen real close, we're spending time with things that don't really matter in eternity. I preached on that on Sunday morning. I talked about under the sun type of thinking, that we've got our head down and we're thinking about my property or my possessions or all the things that I've got. Or we're looking at things like this and we've got our focus on things down here instead of things above. And we're not thinking about the fact that one day we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account of what have we done in this life since we've been saved. Availability. I want you to look secondly, look at chapter number 2 of 2 Timothy, look at verse number 2, "And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also." Let me say secondly about your teachability. Teachability. Well, I'm available to do something, but I'm going to say this to you. Some people make themselves available, but they're not very teachable. We have people sometimes that they're maybe doctrinally on the right page and they may think they have everything figured out. And they're not really willing to be taught anything. Well, in Romans chapter 12, we talked about you're going to have your mind renewed. You're going to have to be able to let somebody teach you some things. When you get to the place that you feel like, I'm still right now, I'm going through things that I'm reading things, I'm listening to things, I'm understanding things, I'm finding things that I was talking to Brother Joe today, and we talked for about an hour or so on the phone, and he was saying things that I thought, yeah, I never really thought about that before. I want to tell you something. When you stop being teachable, I'm going to tell you, you probably are on the verge of stopping to being usable. You've got to always be able to be teachable in some way. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3, just maybe flip over a page there and look at verse number 14. He says, "But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." You got to continue. It isn't just, well, I learned some things and now I stop. No, you got to continue in some things. He says, "And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, to reprove you, for correction, to fix what's not right in your life and tell you how to get it right, for instruction, how to keep things right, instruction in righteousness." So you've got to be able to be teachable in your life. You got to be available. He said, "The things that thou hast heard of me," you're going to have to be someone that's able to hear the word of God and get around it. "The things you have heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men." I'm going to say this, you got to be capable. Capable. I got to be available. I've got to be a child of God that has given myself to Him. I've got to be teachable. I've got to be somebody that they can teach me some things. I got to be here. I got to listen. I got to get the truths of the Word of God. But then I've got to be capable. You say, what's the difference between teachable and capable? I mean, there's a big difference. Sometimes people have been taught things, but they're not able to apply them to their life because they've never put them into practice themselves. And I want to tell you something else. There's a lot of people that run around and they are quick to tell people how to do stuff, but they're not actually doing it themselves. That's a real problem. It's hard to be able to teach other people if you're not practicing it yourself. In Philippians 4:9, I'll read this verse to you. It says, "The things which thou hast both learned and received and heard and seen in me," you know what the next word is? "Do." So let me say it again. "The things that thou hast both learned and received and heard and seen in me." Well, that's teachable. But not just be teachable. Do something with what you've been taught. Capable. "And the God of peace shall be with you." In John 13, when he's teaching them how to be servants there, when he's taken up the towel and he's washed their feet, he's done all the things that he's done, he says, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." You know, I think is one of the biggest problems, listen real close, biggest problems in churches today, somebody's asked me, what's a big problem? I think a big problem in churches today, you can find it in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 says, at the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. A time you've been sitting around long enough, and you should be able to teach things to other people. The fact is, you're not able to teach them. Why? Because you've never started doing things with what you were taught. He talks about the fact that you haven't exercised the Word of God. You didn't exercise it, and because you didn't exercise it, you're now deceived. And it says those people are unable to discern between good and evil. The problem sometimes with people is you're hearing, but you're not being a doer of the word. Well, they got to be available. You got to be available to God. I'm available. I can be there Sunday night. I can be there for Sunday school. I can be there for Wednesday. I can be there for the Bible study classes. I can be there. If I can't be there in person, I can be there online. I'm available. And then I'm teachable. I'm going to have my ears open. I'm going to have my notebook. I'm going to have my Bible. I'm going to be studying through these things. I am teachable. But then I'm applying things, so now I'm becoming capable. I'm capable of actually doing something with it. I want you to see number 4. He says this, "And the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Number 4, let me say this, are you dependable? Are you dependable? You know, when he asked him to look for people, he didn't say, "Go find the smartest guy that you can find." If he did that, maybe he'd find Lucas. He said, "Go find the smartest guy." He didn't say, "Go find the smartest." He didn't say, "Go find the most popular." If he did that, maybe he'd go find Brother Buddy. "Go find the most popular." He didn't say that. He didn't say, "Go find the strongest." If he did that, he'd probably come looking for me. He didn't say, "Go find the best looking." He'd be looking for a long time in here. No, I'm just joking with him. He said, "Go find the most faithful." He said, "Go find a faithful man." men that are dependable. Hey, they're available. They are teachable. They're capable. They're putting something in practice, but they're also dependable. When I say dependable, I mean this. There's a lot of people that start off doing pretty good. This happens all the time. In Bible colleges, it starts off, they start off, and every Bible college, you start off with a crowded room on the first week of school. Second week of school, still pretty good. Third week, less. Fourth week, less than that. And by the end of time, you've got very few people. Now, I realize things happen, things come up. I understand that. But I'm just saying to you that if you're really going to be useful, you're going to have to be dependable. Dependable. Somebody said this one time, I thought it was pretty good. Be so dependable, that if you say you will be somewhere and you don't show up, people send flowers. He must be dead. There's no way he would miss this. He said he was going to do it. I think that's pretty dependable. When I think about dependable, I think about being reliable. Somebody you can rely on. You know, when you think about, you know, dependability and reliability, sometimes you think a little bit of like consistency. Let me ask you a couple of questions. What characterizes those who are habitually successful in sports or sales or some skill? It's their consistency. It's their dependability. It's the fact that they are there and putting the effort into it. What single quality of a business builds respect deeper than any other? Their consistency, their dependability. What brings security in a relationship? Their dependability, their consistency. What makes us choose a particular brand name over some another brand name? You say their dependability, their consistency. What makes us good parents in our home? Our dependability, our consistency. Look, you need to be available to God. You need to be teachable. My ears are open. My Bible's open. I've got my notebook. I'm going to learn some stuff. And then capable. I'm going to put it in practice. I'm not just going to make it something I listen to and hear. I'm going to put it in practice when I walk out there. And then dependable. I'm going to be here for the long haul. I'm going to be part of this for the long haul. I'm not just a fly-by-night. I'm not just going to be here when things are good. And when things get bad, you can't find me anywhere. That's not being very dependable. You should see number five. Look at verse number 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let me say this one. Number 5, you need to be durable. Durable. When I say durable, I mean you're going to have to put up with a lot of stuff. You're going to have to go through some things. When you see what he says here, he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth. I might tell you something, that being in service for God, it's going to be a warfare sometimes. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please who? He may please him who hath chosen to be a soldier. I want to please my commander in chief. That's what I'm supposed to be pleasing. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Let me say something to you. There's no shortcuts in this. Serving the Lord, there's no shortcut to serving the Lord. You've got to put the effort in serving God. There's no, you can't cut corners. There's a junkyard of pastors and preachers out there that have tried to cut corners and do things their own way, and there's just a pile of them. You can name them off right now. All the ones that just didn't do it the right way, and now you don't even think about them anymore. Just a mess. And they've messed up the name of God. You're gonna have to do it the right way. You gotta do it lawfully. You're going to be a servant of God. You're going to have to be someone that's, look, I don't care if you're a servant of God that's the usher. I don't care if you're the parking lot attendant. I don't care if you're the deacon. And we're going to be talking about that some coming on. I don't care if you're a future pastor. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if you're a Sunday school teacher. You've got to be somebody that's available, teachable, capable, dependable, and then durable. Amen. He said lawfully. Can I tell you something? There's going to be some problems that you're going to face. You're going to face problems. Sometimes those problems are going to be brought on by our own poor decisions. And we're going to face some problems and some of the maybe the dumb things that we did. Let me tell you something. You do something wrong, you do something dumb, you make a mistake, you don't quit. Listen, you don't quit. You learn from it, you get up, you dust yourself off, and you start doing better next time. Too many people have just, they've got knocked down. Let me tell you something. Nobody's ever won a fight by the first time they threw a punch, somebody hit them, they got on the ground, they just laid there. You've got to get back up. And well, things didn't work out the way I thought they were going to work out. Get back up. Re-engage in the fight. There's going to be problems. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16:8, he says, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." I want you to say that with me. There are many adversaries. If you're going to do something for God, I just need you to understand there's going to be adversity. There's going to be difficulty. I don't know. I've said this to our guys. I've said it to several of you. The moment, if I was to say to you, "Hey, we'd like for you to teach a Sunday school class. We'd like for you to consider being a deacon. We'd like for you to look at doing whatever." The moment we say that to you, I've said it to everybody, you watch. Something will happen within the week or within 2 weeks to try to knock you out of this thing. Something always happens. I don't know if it's like that in every church, but I can promise you this, it's like this in this church. And I know people are going to say this. If I walk up and say, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" You're like, "Nope, you're talking to me. I don't want anything coming my way." I'm just telling you, things, if you're going to try to do something with God, I promise you, there's going to be something. And I'm going to tell you something that you've got to understand. And I hope you understand this. I believe very much in this place. I believe very much in the God we serve. I believe very much in the Holy Spirit that's within us. I believe very much in the Word of God, that the truth of the Word of God is right here in this book. I believe very much that what we're doing is making an impact in this world. I don't know anything about the circumstances. Somebody told me about it a while ago, but just down the street from our house, somebody shot somebody in Killeen and then was trying to get away. The police caught him right down the road at the end of our road, right across from y'all's house, and finally got him stopped. It was a high-speed chase, got him stopped, and then he shot himself and I guess killed himself right there in the car there at that intersection right there by our house. You know what these people in this community need? They need Jesus Christ. And exactly what Brother Kevin just got through preaching, but just singing about. They need that. And somebody told me the other day, "Oh, you know, there's a lot of churches out there and they're just not doing good." And I'm thinking, I don't know about that. I'm sure there's probably a lot of them. And then I sat down with people and started looking. There's a lot of people out here that are churches that are nothing more than a social program. They're not actually trying to get the gospel into people's hands. I was looking at the budget the other day. I was looking through all the stuff of what this church has done over the past several years. I'll go through and I'll pour through every line of the budget. I'll show it to people and we'll try to pour through all the different line stuff. And I was looking at something the other day and I looked at outreach. And outreach in 2021, it was a certain amount. But in 2022 and 2023, it shot up by a few thousand. It was like $30,000, I think it shot up. Outreach. I was telling my kid today, I said, you see how much it went up? It went up like $30,000 that it went up in that time frame between 1 year to the next year. And I said, but look at the amount of people that's gone up in that amount of time. I think there's a direct correlation. I think even sometimes, you know, we try to talk to people, we try to get them the gospel, and we may knock on 50 doors, and nobody at those 50 doors ever come to this church, but it seems like God will find 50 other people from 50 other doors, and when they're thinking, "I wonder where I can go," He says, "We can go up there on the hill." They care about people up there. I believe in what we're doing. I believe in what we're doing to try to change people's lives. But I'm going to tell you something. I want you to listen real close. If we've been doing this for however amount of time you've been doing it, the devil, principalities, and powers have been doing it for a whole lot longer. And if you can see the potential of this place, surely they can. And they would love nothing better than to stop you from being a servant for God. They would love nothing better than to stop us from reaching this community for Jesus Christ. Listen, they would love nothing better than to stop little kids from getting up here and singing about Jesus. They'd love nothing better than to stop you from singing a special or singing in the choir or anything you're doing or playing the piano. They'd love nothing better than to stop you from serving. Boy, there's an effectual open door, but he said, you know what? There's many adversaries. So what did Paul tell Timothy? What did a man of God that's been doing it for a while tell somebody else that's trying to do something for God? He says, you're going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier. I'm just telling you, sometimes there's going to be adversity. Can I tell you something else? Sometimes the adversity that we're going to face is actually there to help us be stronger for the future. He said, can you prove that? Yeah. David, as a young man, walked up on the scene with a Goliath that nobody wanted to fight. And when when David walked up to fight him, everybody said, there's no way this can happen. David said, I've got confidence in God. I got confidence in the ability I've got with God. And he said this, he said, I was in my father's field and I was working. He said, and a bear showed up and a lion showed up. And he said, you know what? I was able to defeat the bear and the lion. And he says this, the same God that delivered me out of the hand of the bear and out of the lion is the same God that will help take care of this uncircumcised Philistine. You see, that we're going to go through, listen now, I hope you'll get this. You're going to go through some difficulties as you serve God. You're going to go through some. You're going to face some difficulties. We're going to face some difficulties at a church. That does not mean we stop serving God. It means we learn how to rely on God better. Because there's bigger things coming. And the things we learn, we could be right in the middle of the will of God. You realize, right in the middle of the will of God and a bear show up. Right in the middle of the will of God and a lion show up. And we say, I don't know how we're going to do that, because I'm going to tell you the truth. If it would have been me and a bear showed up, I'd have been hiding behind some of the sheep somewhere. I would not be running up to try to grab him. But I'm telling you something, he learned something going through that experience with God helping him attack the situation. And then something else came up, right in the middle of the will of God. You know what he did? He gained experience. And it helped him when the big things came. Some of us have been serving together for a long time. We've had some experiences, have we not? Those experiences aren't meant to knock us out of the race. Those experiences are meant to help us be stronger for the things we'll go through in the future. I would say this, and this isn't next to the scripture there, but the bigger effectual doors, maybe the bigger adversaries. You better be strong. You better endure hardness. You may better have some durability. He says in verse 5, he says, if a man also strive for mastery, is he not crowned as he strive lawfully? The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Let me say something to you. When he talks about this whole idea of a mastery or being crowned or running a race or all those types of things or laboring in a vineyard, I mean, let me say this. It takes effort to do the things you're going to do in ministry. And let me say something else. Listen, it takes patience. If you don't stick around, listen real close. If you labor in the field and you don't stick around, you never get to be a partaker of the fruit. Listen real close. You labor in the field. Listen real close. You labor in the field and you don't stick around, you don't get to the fruit. You're going to have to endure. Durability. Look at the sixth one. Look at verse number 14. He says, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, and to work with it, not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings. Get away from the babblers. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat at doth a canker, as of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrown the faith of some. Let me say number six, you need stability. Stability. Stable ability. Stability. Let me tell you the reason why I think this is important. And I want you to get this. You need stability because if you start to really do something for God, you're always going to find some knucklehead in the group that can get you off track with stuff that makes no sense. That happens. That happens. Everybody's like, well, we're charging together and we're trying to do something. You always get one guy that wants to talk about, he wants to argue over a word or over a doctrine or over a weird, obscure thing and get everybody sidetracked in something. And you end up spending your time. Listen now, I'm telling you, if you want to be profitable for God, don't get sidetracked with silliness. Somebody sent me something the other day and they asked me, I said, what do you think about this? And it was a video. And I'm going to try to go into all the detail, but it was a video, and they talked about they talked about Molech, and they so what they did is they took a little bit of a truth over here in the Bible, it's a good solid truth, and then they connected Molech with abortion. They took a truth that was over here about the wages of sin is death, I took a truth over here from Genesis about the blood crying out of Abel. Connected it to another really interesting truth from Hebrews about the blood of Jesus Christ being better than the blood of Abel. They connected a bunch of these. This is a truth over here in Genesis. And this is a really interesting truth over here in Hebrews. And this is a good truth. And then they pulled a truth from Romans chapter 6 about the wages of sin is death. And they connected all these truth things. And then they took the solid foundation of this truth and this truth and this truth and this truth and then bridged them together in this thing that had no foundation. They started talking about blood covenants and generational curses and all this stuff. Let me tell you something. It sounded interesting. Wow, this was interesting. And a person had watched it, and they sent the video, and they're like, this is interesting. And I was with them on it, because they had this verse over here, and that was a true verse, and this verse over here, and that was a true verse, and this verse over here, and that was a true verse. And let me tell you something that I wrote the person back, and I said, number one, you need to stop listening to YouTube preaching. That's number one. Number two, people have been famous for doing this forever, overthrowing the faith of some with taking a little bit of truth over here, a little bit of truth over here, a little bit of truth over here. And in our circles, people do it. And linking all those, there's a truth over here, but that truth isn't saying what you're saying here. But you link this one with this one, with this one, with this one. And then you wow everybody with some kind of weird thought that you connect it with. And then you present that as something that's sound doctrine. It really is nothing but a bunch of junk. And you know what people do all the time? They get wowed by, that is cool, man. That was cool. That was neat. No, it was stupid. It was a waste of 15 minutes of my life that I can't get back. You know what he says in this verse? Verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. Stop getting sidetracked with things that are of no profit. Subverting the hearers. It actually is tearing you down instead of building you up. And so he says, what do you do instead? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a worker that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then right after that, but shun profane and vain babblings. People who just like to babble about stuff that makes no difference at all in the world. Yeah, but that stuff's cool. No, it's foolish. It's dumb. Why don't you spend your time studying something that's profitable instead of spending your time studying something that makes no difference in the world? So, stability. Stability. The last one I want you to see, he tells them there in verse number 22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Let me say this. Under that idea of stability, you may need to flee from some things that you know are causing you a problem in your life. And you know what you need to do? Here's what he says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. The next two words are very important. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know what you're trying to do? Yoke yourself up together with other people that are serving the Lord. That's what we're trying to do with this whole thing with the college and career age young adults. We're trying to yoke people up together so that together they can see the need for serving God. Lastly, I just say this. Look at verse number 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Let me say lastly is this, usability. Usability. You're taking notes. The last one is usable. Stability and then usability. Let me say this, it's the ability to help others. One of the greatest things about being a servant of the Lord is the ability to help other people. One of the greatest things you'll ever do with teaching a children's class is helping those little kids know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then helping them live for the Lord. It's one of the best things you'll do. One of the best things that they'll do when they're teaching them songs is teach them how to sing songs of praise to God. Some of those songs will be psalms, some will be hymns, some will be spiritual songs, but we're teaching them how to sing songs about God. they're using puppets next door to teach those kids to love the Lord. And then when you come in a church like this, and what we're trying to do with the Bible is trying to help you understand what the Bible actually says. You know, when you get to chapter 4, he says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. At his appearing, he says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You know what? I feel like we're in that time that people do not want to hear you just expound on the Word of God. You've got to have some kind of clever twist to it to make it sound interesting. You've got to show a video. You've got to have pictures. You've got to have some kind of interesting little hook to get people to do it, because nobody wants to sit there for 45 minutes and listen to the very words from God being talked about. I mean, who wants to do that? I mean, I've got some TV show to watch. I got to get home. I got to watch something. There's no way that you can keep me engaged for 40 minutes talking about the words that God would speak. People would travel around the world to hear a leader speak somewhere on how to make more money. But you get them in church and they're like, man, how much longer? Because I keep telling people I'm thinking Arby's, and everybody's like, there's no Arby's around here, so I'm thinking Cane's or something. I don't know what you could be thinking. You're thinking about something other than the truths of the Word of God. There's a time coming, and I think we're in it, when people are more concerned with stories and fables and entertainment than they are with the doctrines of God. He said, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. I'm going to tell you, if you want to be your greatest ability, you think about these. Available, are you available to God? Teachable, are you taking notes, getting your Bible? I'm going to be instructed. Or have you already got to a place where I don't need anything else? I already know what I'm doing. Listen, if Paul said, I have not attained, then surely we haven't. Teachable. Then are you capable? Are you putting into practice what you've been taught? Are you dependable, reliable, faithful? Are you durable? You're going to endure some of the difficulties you're going to face, and you're going to face them. And then are you stable, stability? And lastly, are you usable? Are you going to do something that matters in the lives of other people? Because I promise you, there are people out there that need it, and there are churches out there that aren't doing it anymore. Are you usable? As we do more and more in this church in the future, and I can see us doing more and more and more to try to reach our community, and as we do more, there's going to be opportunities where we need more people to serve God. You say, well, that's the next crowd that's coming in. No, that's you. That's you. You're going to have to enlist, though. You're going to have to say, I'm available. And I want to do something. I don't care what it is. Somebody came in the other day. I took them to, they said, I want to talk to you about some things. And I said, what do you think you're gifted in doing? What do you think you could do? And the lady said, I can clean a toilet. That's what she said. I can clean a toilet. And she said, if you'd let me, I'll find out what Miss Sylvia needs help with, and I'll clean any toilet that she doesn't want to clean, I'll clean that toilet. And I said, what else can you? Can you sing? And she says, no, I'm serious. I can clean a toilet. And I will help you clean anything you've got to clean in this place. You know what? That's availability. Are you available? Well, I hope so. I hope so, because we've got things we're going to do in the future and try to help our community for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I know I am. I'm in it. I hope you are too. Let's stand to our feet and we'll talk to God for a few minutes tonight before we go. Lord God, we love you. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. I pray you'd help us tonight just to look at what Paul said to a young man that was serving in ministry. And I pray you'd help us to do that very thing tonight. Help us. I pray that you'd help us tonight, say, I'm available. I'm available. I'm dependable. I'm teachable. I'm capable. I'll be usable. Well, I pray you'd help us to do that tonight. Help us to get our mind wrapped around what you have for us for the future. And Lord, I believe there is an effectual door open, and there's many adversaries, but Lord, I believe that you have got the people here right now, and if not, they're coming. They're going to be useful to do the work that you've called us to do. Help us now, Lord, please. Help our spirit to be right, because if our spirit isn't right, we surely won't be able. Help our spirit to be right, and bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. She's going to play. Give you a chance to pray tonight.